So several weeks ago, one of the members of our church asked about the relationship between unity and Judaism, because she comes out of that tradition, and asked me if I'd talk a little bit about that. And so as I was preparing this lesson, it came up to mind, because what I think about when I think about the progression of religion, that the early stories in Genesis, that, you know, from a Christian point of view is called the Old Testament, it's the Jewish scripture, there's all these encounters that people have with the living presence of God. And then later on it gets organized, and there's priests, and then there's this whole structure that rises up. And something similar happens in Christianity when Jesus comes and brings that message that, you know, the presence of God, the kingdom of God is within you. And the disciples carry that message forth, and then later on there's priests and they organize the religion. And in both cases, the organization many times tends to be more important than the experience of the presence of God. And I just ask you, would you rather have a description of God, or would you rather have an experience of God? We'd rather have the experience, wouldn't we? And so recognizing that this is what the mystical part of all these different traditions point to. And we can have a metaphysical approach which describes the symbols and the levels and all these different things, but and that's all fine. But what we really want is that experience of the presence, that living sense, as Moses found the name of God to be, I am, that living presence of God. And so what I invite you to think about is how we want to do that, and the way to do that is to have an experience of the presence of God in the silence, where we take a moment to shut off our minds so that that mind of God can be present in us in a way that we can experience and understand, and then let it express through us moment by moment. So out of the Jewish tradition, we have this that comes from the book of Lamentations. Yahweh, or the name of God, usually translated as the Lord, but it means the I am. That's the I am name of God. Yahweh is good to those who wait for him. This word wait doesn't mean wait in the sense, again, waiting for God to show up because God's been taking too long. It's wait in the sense of being a waiter or a waitress, to wait on someone to say, what is it that you desire? What can I give? And so that's that sense of being present to God and what God is in the midst of us. So Yahweh is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. And then to him that seeks him, let him sit alone and keep silence. So that's part of that tradition of being open to that presence of God. Now there's a story about how the Jews got the Ten Commandments. The story goes like this, that originally God offered the commandments to the Egyptians. And they said, and God said, would you like some commandments? And they said, well, what are commandments? Well, you shall not commit adultery. He said, no, that'll mess up our weekends. So God went to the Assyrians and said, do you want some commandments? And they said, well, what are commandments? Well, thou shalt not steal. No, that'll mess up our economy. So he went to the Jews and said, would you like some commandments? They said, how much are they? He said, they're free. So we'll take 10. So our scripture today is a story that comes out of the first book of Kings, Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, of the Jewish scriptures. He had had many challenges in his life, had some successes, but basically the king at that time was out to kill him. And so he was hiding out in the wilderness. He'd hidden in a cave. And the presence of God comes to him and says, go to the mouth of the cave and you will experience my presence. Yahweh, the I am presence and power of God. So it says, go out and stand on the mountain. And it says, Yahweh passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke it in pieces, the rocks. But Yahweh was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire went by. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a soft, gentle voice. The traditional translation is, the still small voice. And so what this story says to particularly those who's listened to it with that ancient understanding that how did God show up to the ancient mind? That when there was an earthquake, it meant that God was walking around, shaking things up. When there was a big, strong wind, it meant that presence of God was there, because in every ancient language, breath and wind and spirit are the same word. So that strong wind was God. And when there was a fire, that meant that God was there. Remember Moses in the burning bush, and out of the burning bush, God spoke to him. So those were traditional ways that they understood that God would be revealed. But here, Yahweh, God says, there's this still, small voice, this gentle whisper, some of the translations say. That's how we experience God. And again, in our minds, when we watch those old biblical movies and the voice of God speaks, Moses, you know, and we're looking for that kind of experience of the presence and power of God. But what this story says is that God speaks to us in a gentle whisper, in a soft voice, meaning we don't have to do it. We're given free will. But we're invited into relationship. We're invited into an experience of that presence. We're invited to connect so that we can know that presence, so that we can live from that presence in our lives. And there is a depth in the silence, that depth of that presence of God in each one of us that's available and wants to come through. But we have to give ourselves to it. We have to do that work. If we look at this idea of what separates us from God, you know, in the traditional Christian, you know, it's sin, you know, because we've sinned in some way. But I like to think of sin like this: system interference, noise. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Where do we need to go to get into heaven? It's already here. But what interferes is the noise in our consciousness, the work in our mind of thinking that it's something out there in our world that's going to make us happy, more joyful, you know, all those things. When it really is that presence of God, that depth that's in us, if we would but find that depth and let it move in us in a greater way, let it move what needs to be moved out of the way so that it can move in us in its fullness. So that's the work that we want to have, to tune into that deeper frequency. So the word, the still small voice, the word that's translated still, could be silence, calm, whisper, soft. Again, a description of what this presence of God is in us. It doesn't mean it's weak. Just like water is not weak when it moves, it can tear down mountains. So this presence and power of God may be soft, but it's not weak. It's the real power in the universe. The word that's translated as small could be fine or subtle. It's a subtle experience. It's easy to let the noise of our minds override our experience of it, but once we calm our minds, we can find it and let it work in us in a deeper way. The word that's translated voice could be sound, noise, or lightness, a lightness of being that allows us to experience who we are as beings of light. So these are different ways of understanding what this is about. I invite you to think of it this way. You have an infinite resource in you awaiting your utilization, the depth in the silence. So depth is going to be our acronym that we're working with today. Depth, and what it represents to begin with, the D represents dedicate some time and space in your life to prayer and meditation. And it's a challenge because we're busy with so much busyness that we think that we don't have time. I was like Gandhi used to say, I've got so much to do today, I couldn't possibly do it without 2.5 hours of meditation. That's how important it was to him, to take that time to let that Spirit of God reveal what he needed to know and do in that day. So he's doing the things that really made a difference, doing the things that really were important, not just the things that add for the busyness of life. I was talking with my son-in-law yesterday, and I said, well, how was work this week? He said, it's done. I like that. It was the weekend already. He says, the work is done. I'm here in the weekend. I'm not going to think about that. And so that's what we need to do, is create that space where all the things of life are just done for now, and we're going to be present to the presence of God. It may mean, as it did for me when I first made a dedication to daily meditation, that I had to get up before everybody else in the household if I was going to have a little bit of quiet in the house. And if you start out with just 5 minutes that you're giving to this, then you only need to get up 5 minutes earlier, right? As that expands, as you expand that time in there, which it will eventually, then you'll need more time. But to begin with, all you need is a little bit, because that's going to be enough at the beginning for you to begin to find that deeper place inside of you, working in a different way. Charles Fillmore, one of our co-founders, when he began his meditative practice, he made an appointment every day with God. He kept that appointment, and he said it finally, after 3 months, he thought he finally felt something. So you may not feel something at the beginning, but keep showing up. Keep making that space for God, and you will find that eventually you'll feel something more. In American Sign Language, the sign for depth is... So many times we're operating here, but there's something so much more, and if we're going to connect with it, we have to make some time for it in our own lives. People ask about posture. Well, should I try to sit in the yoga position? Only if you've trained your body for that. You know, the picture I've got in the background here, you know, she's sitting in that position. Most of us in the Westerners, unless we've, you know, taken yoga or something, we're not going to be able to do that. So sit in a chair. Be comfortable. Take a point where you can let your body go, let the awareness of your body go for a moment. Some people like to lay down and meditate. It works for some people. For me, when I lie down to meditate, I go to sleep. So if it works for you, fine. But find a place that's comfortable. And people say, well, then should I put my hands up? Like, whatever was comfortable. Again, if you're comfortable with your hands folded in a traditional prayer position like that, or palms up, or, you know, one of the yoga positions, any of those are fine. Again, be comfortable, because what we want to do for a moment is let go of the awareness of your body so you can touch that depth of that presence and power of God in the midst of you that's greater than your body, that's greater than your mind, that's greater than your feelings. So we want to let those go for a moment to touch that in a greater way. So here's, this comes from Hafiz. This is out of the Sufi tradition, the Islamic tradition. There are different wells within your heart. Some fill with each good rain. Others are far too deep for that. So we don't just want to fill up the shallow places in our life. We want to find that there's a depth that we come to, and we have to give time and space for that. The E in depth stands for enter his gates with thanksgiving. This phrase from the 100th Psalm just came to me. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. This is the way we want to come into that presence and power of God. If you had an appointment to meet the Queen of England, wouldn't you be excited about that? Well, guess what? You can make an appointment to meet the Creator of the universe. And you don't have to go to England to do that. It's right where you are. Aren't you excited? You have the opportunity to meet the infinite presence of the divine. Yay! Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The word that's translated as gates could be city. You know, there's different ways of it. But again, the sense that this is God's realm that you're entering into. Celebrate and have that sense of expectation that you're going to encounter an aspect of God, probably not all of God, but an aspect of God so that you can feel it in your life. And it's right here for us. So, and one of the things I like to think of is that if we spend time daily dipping into the depth of that presence, we'll get to be familiar with it more and more. Just as Joan and Roland, after 50 years, know a lot about each other, right? The more time that you spend on a regular basis with God, the more that you will know and more that you will experience that presence of God in your life. Julie is one of the members of our music team, and she was part of our prosperity class for the last couple weeks. And she shared a story one week that was just so interesting. She is retired now, but when she was working, she was an instructional aide in a special education class. And many times the kids get rowdy, and at one point the teacher was out of the class. She was in the room, in the class with the kids, and they were getting rowdy. And you know, there's different ways that you can try to get the kids to calm down. And what she did in that moment, she was remembering one of the songs that they were working on in choir, a song called In This Very Room. And some of the words of that song are, in this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. In this very room, there's quite enough joy. And so she just kept singing that song in her mind, that right here, the presence of God is here. that peace, that love of God. And as she sang that song in her mind, the energy level of the kids in the room settled down. And a couple minutes later, when the teacher came back in the room, she said, "What'd you do to them?" Because they were all calmed down. Well, she didn't do anything to them. She just had entered into that awareness of the presence of God in this very room. Right wherever we are, we can have that awareness be our blessing. So how do we do that? So we use words, because that's the way our minds work. But we want to use words rather than the things that we're busy with all the time and checking our text messages and all that, is that we want to use a phrase that we can connect with that sense of God's presence. So, and it's most helpful to connect it with our breath, breathing in, breathing out. It's something that we do fairly regularly. Breathing in, breathing out. And so just think, as you breathe in, take the name of God. I, as you breathe out, am. I am. Or if you want to add something else, I am peace. I am, as you breathe in, peace, as you breathe out. I am peace. And see how the mind comes to a focus. See how the mind comes to a place of ease. How simple it is. And so we just think, what's the aspect of God that you want to experience? I am love. I am joy. I am wisdom. I am light. Again, just pick one. Just pick one and just breathe with those words. And you will find that you will feel something more working in and through you in your life. And so then the next step then is to then let those words go. Keep breathing, but let the words go. And just feel that in that space between the thoughts is where we'll encounter that presence of God. Because God doesn't need words. God is the living word. And so as we open ourselves, it moves in us. And so what we do with this moment, we penetrate the noise and distractions that are on the surface. And we find that underneath is this richness, this flow, this energy, this blessing that is ours. So here's the affirmation that sort of points to this. I am in tune with the depth of God in me. Let's say that. I am in tune with the depth of God in me. And again, I am in tune with the depth of God in me. So this is what leads us into that sense. In American Sign Language, the sign for silence is not just shh, because we've all been shushed before, haven't we? It's not just the shh, but it's that letting go into that place, into that peace that's there. So that then we will, and for the T of depth, I chose taste because of Psalm 34, where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And it's a metaphor to taste. The other metaphor could be touch, to touch the hem of the garment. But I was thinking taste because of my granddaughter is almost 4 months old, and that her main sensing organ is her tongue. Everything she touches, she's got to put on that tongue. She's not sucking on everything. Even when she puts her fingers in her mouth, she's usually playing with them with her tongue. And I was holding her the other day, facing against my shoulder, and after I looked down, and my shirt was all wet because she was just licking my shirt all over. She was just trying to see what it felt like on her tongue. It felt interesting. We went to see Meredith's mother, and her mother had on these gloves, and Cora was sitting in her great-grandmother's lap and got a hold of one of these and just was sucking because she liked the way the gloves felt on her tongue. You know, that's just... And so imagine just savoring that presence of God, that moment, and it may just be a brief moment to begin with. May just be a brief experience of the presence of God, but taste it, feel it, take it in, and just say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for that moment." And then you'll be able to come back to it again and again because you found it. And the key is that each time it's going to be different. One of the challenges we have, we can have an exquisite experience in meditation, and we'll see light and rainbows and waterfalls and all these kind of things. And next time, we want that same experience again, but God has something else for us this time. And so be open to what God has each time. Taste each moment as it comes. And then till you get to the point where you see God as that infinite depth in you, and then each moment is just another part of this broad continent of this inner awareness, and you're just exploring pieces of it at a time, but there's more and more for you to find. And then the H for depth is an invitation for you to become host to the Spirit. In many Christian traditions, when they do communion service, the wafers, the bread, are called the host. Some traditions, the belief is that the bread literally becomes the body of Jesus. Some traditions are that it represents the body. But the key is that it's not about what they represent, it's what we represent. That if we see ourselves as that host to Spirit, again, one of the ways we language it is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's another way to say it. But if you see ourselves being present to the presence of God, so that we are that place because we've touched part of that depth of God in us, so that when there's stress at work, we can bring this gift of God's presence of peace. Yeah? When there's difficulties in the families, we can come from this place of divine love. We become the vehicle, the instrument, the host for it, wherever we are in life. It's easy to have an outer preoccupation with the things that go on in the world. You know, we're sort of trained for that. But there is a fascination that we can have with this inner experience that is so, so much more. It's a depth. Most people never take the time to visit it, but I invite you to make the time, to dedicate the time and the space to do that so that you can enter into that presence, so that you can pause and listen, so that you can taste the deliciousness of that presence of God, so that your whole being, your mind, your body, your feelings may be the host for it, and to bring that gift of the depth of that reality of God's infinite presence to your life and to the people around you. We are all hungering for that experience. The world is hungering for something that is real, that lasts for more than 15 seconds, that lasts for more than just a short time. That realness is inside of you, in the depth of the silence. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this amazing gift of your eternal, infinite presence that is available to each one of us. We open ourselves to know it, to feel it, and to live it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.